It's an absolute joy to be with you today and to have this opportunity to open the Word together. And as Pastor Bill said, Kat and I are just passionate about starting new churches because the need in our country, in the United States of America, for people meeting Jesus is astronomically high because the church continues to lose effect and impact around the world, let alone in the country that we live in. And so we're trying to do all we can to affect that and change that. And Jesus is doing utterly amazing things, and I could tell you 115 or more stories, but I won't do that this morning because I'd rather do this first. But I do ask you to pray for Kat and I as we go. We're leaving our church today, running up to Maine just to explore, just to see if we can meet people to start new churches, because the process we use requires no money to start churches. We just need people that are concerned about the mission of Jesus. And so as we go do that, that's how Jesus has given us over 100 new starts in the last 2 years, and we're really excited about that. And looking forward to seeing more of what Jesus has for us as we explore this together. But what I want to do in our time together this morning is to explore three ideas. The first two ideas will be amazing because Jesus did them and you and I had absolutely nothing to do with them. But then there's going to be the third idea that lands where we are. And it will cause us to think about, okay, because Jesus has done these amazing radical things right here in my life, my time, what does he want me to do? How does he want me to hear that and to connect to that where I live in my life? So the first idea I'd like to share with you is in Acts chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, a passage you know very well. So let me read it, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking Jesus, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest parts of the earth. Now, you know that passage, right? And the point I want to get at is that Jesus has put in all of us as followers of Jesus this incredible power. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and please note that one thing Jesus said, that one of the ways that the power of the Spirit of God is manifested is in my testimony of him. Because Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my, what? Witnesses. A witness simply tells the story of Jesus as I see it and as I hear it. And so one of the powerful ways that the Spirit uses power in my life is when I tell people a story of Jesus. Your next 7 weeks, starting next week, is a powerful place to hear even more detail about the story of Jesus and how it can weave in your life into the lives of other people. But the powerful thing about that is I had nothing to do with that. Jesus did that in my life. The Spirit of God is doing that in my life, and I had absolutely nothing to do with that. So hold on to that idea that me as an individual, that's true. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, there's this crazy statement. This is also one of the statements that causes me to get up every morning to do what we do. Kat and I made the move after pastoring established churches for 24 years to become a regional missionary, raise our own support, just to work at starting new churches in our country here in America. This is one of the reasons why. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, you became imitators of us, referring to the church in Thessalonica, and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And please note verse 8, for the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but every place your faith towards God's gone forth. So I don't need to say anything to you. Now, anytime I read Paul saying, I don't need to say anything to you, I really want to pay attention because that's powerful. And what Paul says is this one church in Thessalonica impacted a region that is Macedonia and Achaia. Well, one day I got curious, what in the world is Paul saying? So I Googled Macedonia and Achaia. And I found out with similar boundaries, trying to go back through maps of 2,000 years, that geographic region of Macedonia and Achaia is about 42,000 square miles. Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, and New Hampshire is less than 42,000 square miles. What I get from that is that the DNA of every church that follows Jesus, every church that's clear in the gospel of Jesus Christ, has the DNA, has the power, because of Jesus, to impact a region that's larger than Ohio. We're from Ohio. Ohio is 40,000 square miles. For Cornerstone to impact Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, and New Hampshire. If I understand this passage right, that's the DNA. That's who we are here at Cornerstone. That's what's true. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus is the one who did that. I had nothing to do with it. So the DNA here at Cornerstone is this amazing thing that as we go out to the different places that we are, the different places we want to go, the different places Jesus leads us, we have not only the individually the power of the Spirit of God to tell the story of Jesus to people who need to hear. Because New England is the 1% to 3% believer range. That's why we want to desperately be here in this region starting new churches. But also then the churches themselves, we want to start these things because they're amazing. Jesus is amazing. His church is amazing. And we've got to live into it. We've got to embrace it. We've got to grab it. And Jesus is the one who's done all that. I have nothing to do with it, and neither do you. But there is a piece of the puzzle that will land right in our lap this morning. And if you join me in Matthew chapter 16, you know, again, this passage very well. But I want us to see how Jesus takes, I only mentioned two, there are many more. I've only mentioned these two, but Jesus is going to land these right here in my heart, in my life, in my lap, so that I have to make a choice. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, other Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? That's going to be the question this morning. In light of just the two things I've mentioned, all the other things you know true about Jesus, true about his church, the question will come back to, how do you respond? Because Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? So Peter answered. He said, you are the Messiah. You are God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now please note this. Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. Peter didn't figure it out on his own. Jesus said his dad revealed it to him. And as I studied what the word reveal and that process involves, somewhere along the way, Peter had to listen. Somewhere along the way, his heavenly Father spoke to him and touched his life and communicated to him in such a way that Peter somewhere had to listen. He had to hear what God had to say, and he did, so that Peter understood not just the academic answer, Jesus, yeah, you're God, but no, Jesus, my answer to you is you are God of very God. You are my Savior, and wow, do I have a story to tell. Because you have changed my life will never be the same, and others have to hear about what's happened in my life because of him. So the part where I have the Spirit of God putting in me through his power, be able to tell the story of Jesus, then he connects me to a local church where we're all together, and the DNA of the church of Cornerstone is Cornerstone can just reach down to Connecticut, up to you know, beyond into Maine. That's what's true here. But the question will be, how do I respond to that? How will I listen to what God's telling me to take next steps? We're seeing amazing things happen in the hand of Jesus as we get to see these new churches start. We have this process called Gather Shepherd Elder. We just call it GSE, where we take a gather, just people that are good with people. It's the fabric of the New Testament. Gathers are mentioned from Matthew to Revelation. They're the heart of the New Testament. Gathers, not evangelists. I'm distinguishing from evangelists. Love evangelists. But gathers abound. There are gathers all over this room. And we find gathers and we put them with Ephesians 4:11 shepherd, and together they start churches. They cost no money. Of the 118 or so new things in our network, we have three that have cost a boatload of money and the rest haven't. And so as we focus on that and we realize there's this process going on, but it's about how am I listening to what Jesus is saying to me? Because of these crazy and amazing things he's done in my life. Drawing to me, calling to me, asking me to do amazing things. I'm going to challenge you in two places this morning, then share a couple of illustrations of things that can block us from taking these next steps. The first place I'd like to challenge you is an issue of prayer. Our vision in Vision USA is to work regionally. I believe the book of Acts demonstrates regional church planting, so that's what we're after. So we're trying to seek and shadow Jesus for 75 regional movements around the country. And in those movements, like here in New England, and have many, many movements, to pursue what we call a gospel saturation approach measured by the number of new churches to get to a church a day. How amazing would it be if here in Boston we were seeing Jesus start a church a day? He's doing it around the world. Jesus is doing it everywhere but America, Europe, and probably Australia. It's exploding. We think we know why, and we're trying to fix some of that. But part of it is, will you pray? Acts chapter 16, verse 5 is the first statement of a one-a-day movement. Check it out, Acts chapter 16, verse 5. And I ask you to pray, Jesus, would you please bring a new church every day to the Boston region? That's my first challenge. My second challenge is join us. Vision USA, we're a transdenominational work for anybody clearing the gospel. We want to work with, we want to partner with, we want to see new churches started throughout the region. So start new churches. I'm looking at a whole room full of church planters. Amen? If you say, not amen, I'm starting over. And lunch is going to be late. So that's a good thing you said amen. But let me just try and illustrate some of the barriers. There was a man who made jewelry. And he would go to rock shows. And he would look for rocks that he could turn into jewelry. And he was walking by this one booth. And there was this apple basket, you know, like a bushel basket full of rocks. Right on top was this rock about the size of a nice big Idaho potato. And on the basket was the sign $10. So each rock in that basket was $10. He reached, he grabbed it. He could hardly contain himself. He put it in the face of the guy behind the table and said, $10? The guy said, okay, $5. He gave him $5. It ended up being one of the largest sapphires ever found in North America, worth over $2 million, over 200 carats, or 2,000 carats, I forget, it's huge. $5. What I'm getting at is Satan would love to tell you the DNA of Cornerstone can hardly even touch this block. And you as an individual, you have no story to tell. But that's obviously wrong. What's true is you have the story of all stories to tell. And as I listen to Jesus and he tells me where he wants me to go, and as I hear him well, amazing things can happen. In Columbus, Ohio, where we live, just outside of Columbus, they have a wonderful zoo. And they recently changed the Africa exhibit, but the way it used to be is you'd walk into the area that had the big Africa sign, and you would see these gazelles, you know, a gazelle, these animals with horns. And gazelles, I'm told, can jump 10 feet high and can jump 30 feet. So amazing little animals. Well, you walk up and you would see these gazelles and you would see a 3-foot fence. 3-foot fence. Made no sense whatsoever. This animal can jump 10 feet high, and it can jump from here to here 30 feet. What I found out was a gazelle won't jump when it can't see where its feet's going to land. So a 3-foot fence is all it takes to keep a gazelle in a pen. And so often Satan will just put a fence like that up on us, just saying whatever he's going to say to keep us from being who we are. And who we are followers of Jesus Christ who listen intently to what Jesus and his Spirit is saying, taking those steps. Amen? That's who we are. And we can't let anything interfere with that, can we? Because there's so many people that don't know. Everywhere and all around. So my passion, my desire, my heart this morning is to ask you, one, to pray. Just take a risk and ask Jesus to be starting a new church every day in this region. Just start begging Jesus for that. I am. Been praying for this region for a few years that Jesus would do that. I believe Jesus wants that. And then I just invite you to pray about listening to Jesus when Jesus green lights, as Jesus green lights, start churches. We'd love to partner with you and help you do it. They won't cause anything, so your resource team, don't worry. You're good. We don't need them for the new churches. We just need you and I in the mission of Jesus. There's a family in El Paso, Texas, who started a new church using this process in the first Thursday in June. Matt, he happens to be my son-in-law. That's why I know all the details so intently. He's in the Army. He's a first lieutenant and married to our daughter, our oldest. They started this church, and Matt's a gatherer, and so is our daughter. And he called to say Thursday night, they had like 15 families a part of this new church since June. 4 or 5 of them don't know Jesus yet, but yeah, they're coming regularly because of the conversational approach around Scripture we do as we start these new churches. And they're just so excited because their neighbors, who we've even been praying for 2 years, walked across the street and came Thursday night, stayed for another 30 to 45 minutes when people left, just simply to say, we've been looking for this for a long time. And there's so many people in whose lives Jesus has done that work. And we've got to get them in here. We've got to get them in places where it needs to be. So please pray. Please keep hearing the voice of Jesus and what he says, because I know that you'll follow him. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for who you are and how amazing you are. And I pray that you would cause us to just beg you for a new church. Lord, I pray for a new church every day here in the Boston area. And Father, I pray for all the church planners that are here in this room. All the people that could start churches and not have to leave Cornerstone to do it at all. So Jesus, I pray for that process, that you would bless them and encourage them in amazing ways. Thank you for Pastor Bill. How wonderful a brother he is. And thank you for this church family. And care for them in a powerful way. And thank you for them, our brothers and sisters here. And I pray in your name. Amen.